Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhan dhamman sangham namassami. You can hear me. Okay. A long time since I was here last time. I think it's almost 2 years ago. And once more I could see Ajahn Amaro's great skill. I thought I'd been very much successful in hiding myself, escaping myself from this seat. But this morning at the breakfast meeting, first inevitable mistake was sitting next to him. And he started saying, "Ajahn, I came here and 1 year already have passed." So, oh yes. And for 1 year, I never heard your talk. So, no way to escape. So I need to. And please forgive me, this is my Japanese English. Some of the word, some of the pronunciation might be difficult, but please put up with me. Today it's the 30th of July, almost end of this month. August is coming. And to me, this time of the year has particular taste because beginning of next month, 6th of August, is Hiroshima Day when the first atomic bomb was exploded in Hiroshima in 1945. And the 9th of August in Nagasaki, the second one. And then the 15th of August, Japan surrendered unconditionally to Allied countries. So eventually, this very, very difficult and unnecessary period of war, period of destroyal in many levels came to end. Being a Japanese, and also since I came to this monastery, almost every year I attend a ceremony at the Peace Pagodas in Milton Keynes, the Hiroshima Day, and the ninth, Nagasaki Day. To attend the ceremony at the Peace Pagoda in Battersea in London. Both in the evening and after dusk time, we float the paper lanterns on Warren Lake or on the Thames River. So, beautiful occasion and to recognize the importance of peace. And recent news from Norway. This time I'm not really following the news so detail. I don't know. The most of the news I know is from Ajahn Amaro. But it's very, very destructive, disturbing news to hear. And yet, somehow, for me to recognize difficulty of human life, human realm, we know this is really unnecessary. We know this is really damaging. And yet, it's been like this, it's been repeating like this since the beginning of human history, I think. And we are supposed to learn the lesson, and that maybe another, one after another, painful mistakes happens. And when I think of this, and of course, what is this? We can think of it in many ways, and particularly in maybe Buddhist perspective. Yeah, Buddhist or Buddhism can be seen as a religion of peace. And I believe doesn't have to be any religion, but if you really sincerely look at our heart, what is necessary, what is really leading to real happiness or harmony, the quality we really like to appreciate and share. This, you don't have to talk about war, obvious, but also this conflict. Even the religion can be the cause for the division and the fighting and all the misery, politics or various belief in a social system, attitude towards ethnic groups, and many things. And in Buddhism, you don't, actually it doesn't have to be Buddhist or doesn't have to be Buddhism, but somehow the Buddhists offer one perspective which I value is the word or term we use often is ditti. This is a Pali word we often translate it as a view or views or opinions or sometimes dogma. And when I was in Thailand, before I came to UK, I was trained in Thailand almost 14 years. And often I was taught raga, dosa, moha. It's a Pali word, which means lust, hatred, and delusion. These three as a cause for aksaramola, unskillful roots, the root for the unskillful actions or results. So this is the area we really need to be careful, lust or anger, aversion or delusion, these three areas. And if you look at other religions, I don't know much, but these aversion or lust or greed, these kind of things are actually also often mentioned in other religions too. And it's true, it's quite obvious. Anger, how dangerous it is, or greed, how dangerous could be. And it is, if you just are open, you can recognize. And then, when we talk this raga, dosa, moha, lust, hatred, delusion, also I was often taught as five categories, raga, dosa, moha, ditti, mana. Ditti is the one I said, views and opinions. Mana is conceit. So my interpretation is the last one of the three, moha, delusion, or divided further to three, moha itself, delusion itself, and ditti and moha, opinions, views, and conceit. So it is somehow under the category of moha, delusion. And the difficulty of delusion is, delusion is delusion, it's difficult to see. Dosa, raga, so hatred or lust, it is somehow obvious. Whether you can manage or not, that's a different story. At least, yes, once it is taking over, overwhelming and taking over us, then you know this is not the safe place. But the problem of moha is the delusion. So often difficult to notice, cannot see. So it is somehow more deep. We can't say which one is deep or heavier, but tricky, I can say. And then when this moha divided, some element been taken as a moha, ditti and mana. I repeat again, views and opinions, ditti, mana, conceit. So it is under the category of moha, delusion. It's again difficult to notice, tricky, and yet dangerous. As dangerous as dosa, raka, dosa, the first two obvious ones. And so this teaching pointing at the ditti mana, ditti as something dangerous. This is particularly in this modern age, we need to look at this. You see, in our world, we fight each other. Unfortunately, this carries on. And the tragedy in Norway. Yes, somebody had a fanatic belief in something. But for him, maybe absolutely true, absolutely right, absolutely necessary. So is the case of the war, or Second World War, and usage of atomic bomb. Regardless what you see in the consequences of using violence, still belief in your idea. So this religion is also often the cause of conflict. And, I hope like John Lennon's word, imagine there's no religion in the world. And this is really ironical. Religion is supposed to bring a happiness and a solution to any fundamental question and difficulty of human life. But instead, religion has been the cause of the conflict, cause of the further serious problems. So John Lennon has to say, imagine there's no religion in the world. And it is quite clear, everybody can see. Long time, many, many centuries up to now, in many places, the religion is the cause of division, fighting each other, and destroying each other. So, having seen this painful condition, just to bring up a problem, a danger of ditti, we can say, okay, ditti the problem. But this is quite tricky and deep, because, for instance, faith in certain religion, religious belief, or some ideas in a political conditioning, or views about your ethnic background, this kind of things. All these are very, very important, somehow precious to our own lives. And that's why it should be the case. But then from that place, maybe at the beginning we are sincere. Now, of course we want to be responsible for the life, we want to develop the life, but in the end, something really unnecessary result comes. And so the key is this ditti. So when we say ditti is a problem, it is so. And also we need to recognize, at least I have to recognize, this is quite I need to repeat again about tricky, because it is as very close to the area we would feel precious and important. That's why we can make serious mistakes, and then even myself, look at myself today, just before the evening talk, I was contemplating what can I say tonight, just, and then okay, maybe this is something to talk about. Yes, I can. Then somebody approached me about the life in the monastery, and it's a really small thing, maybe, but I could see my views and then ideas and then even some feeling, emotion around it is coming up. Even the middle of when I am contemplating, I'm supposed to be contemplating the danger of holding on to the ditti views. But still, this kind of things happen to me, and I recognize, yes, this is, I have to say, at least my own limitation, weakness. Yes, I am a monk, and then supposed to be peaceful, supposed to be kind, supposed to be free of this and that. But often, I have to say, the more and more contemplate, this tendency in myself can come out anytime, in any way, and can bring unnecessary, unskillful results too. So when I contemplate about this, the danger of ditti, it's I have to just recognize that weakness of a human being too. It's not like I'm talking about some idea we should not be lost in idea, views. This is a problem, yes. But if I come to the another idea of we should not caught up with, probably this is not true. This is not realistic, because each of us, we need to honestly, openly, and humbly recognize our weakness. This problem of ditti is not some politician's problem or leader of the religious order or anything, but each of us, at least myself, can notice very easily, and also quite strong, quite deceiving, easy to be lost. So another example is, this afternoon I was talking with one of the friends, some friends, and 10 years ago, I was I gave a Sunday talk. That's last 11 years, I did the Sunday talk only twice, and one of them. And that was almost exactly 1 year after 9/11. So after I talk and a tea break, after my talk and tea break, as you know, question and answer happened. So and then during that questions, many of them were about 9/11. Such a pain, just still pretty much new, and then people become charged with painful memory, emotions, and some people are in tears when they ask questions, and some of the questions were, do these suicide bombers, did they go to hell? And that kind of difficult question. And but the tone was, this is ridiculous. How can we leave world like this? We got to take action. That element of emotion from some people. And then I also noticed some from other people, these people ridiculous, not ridiculous, but it's not right. After this tragedy or heavy incident, and now you're thinking of revenge, this is another problem. Maybe right thing to think or say, but these people also quite charged. So there are two parties became opposing each other in a Sarah here. And then when I was in the middle, somehow answering, somehow listening, but I could see clearly they were talking about evil forces. We got to stop evil forces and this kind of discussion and words. But what I could see is this is really what, if such a thing, evil forces exist, yes, actual destroyal is immediate result, but also to cause this amount of conflict and division in a human heart is actually really the purpose of evil forces, if they have anything. So here again, even the people with a good intention, how can this be possible? Or the other party says, we should stop, shouldn't have any more revenge, that kind of, but still the element is fighting. Under the name of peace, under the name of harmonious, to construct the harmonious world, we are again falling into the world of ditti. We should not. And so when I think of danger of ditti and also difficulty of this human conditioning, I have to say probably everybody has. And John Lennon's word is really right. Imagine there's no religion in the world. And somehow we need to be humble with this word. When I think of this peace, I often, because even the word peace can divide us. If you have a certain idea, we should be, peace should be this way, that way, or should be peaceful. And then my favorite word came into my mind. This is actually often I was taught regarding to, meditation practice. Let me say in Thai first, Sangop, Mai Sangop, Raka Taokan, which means Sangop, peace or peaceful, Mai Sangop, not peace or not peaceful, Raka Taokan, same price. I'm just literally translating. So peace, not peace, same value, same price. And this is, I was reminded later, actually this is Rinpoche's word, but when I was learning meditation and working hard and struggling in Thailand to understand and master meditation, I was many, many times reminded with this phrase, Sangop, Mai Sangop, Raka Taokan. Peace, not peace, the same value. Now we can think, yes, I mean, this, we meditate, and this is a rains retreat, 1 or 2 weeks also have passed, and we practice meditation, and often the question is, where am I getting? Or my mind is terrible, or where is the peace I used to have 2 years ago? That kind of question or comment I hear often, and I had the same struggle too. So peace and not peace, Raka Taokan, same value. What is this? I mean, yes, when I was in Thailand, I thought, yes, this is an kind of encouragement. Okay, sometimes good, sometimes not good, but don't give up, just keep on doing it. Okay, I took it as a usual sense of encouragement. And of course, that element is there. But now, later, actually, this has quite important meaning, quite important aspect to our practice. Sangop, Mai Sangop, Raka Taokan. And our tendency of, I got to make it. That peace is necessary. That experience is something I have to pursue. And then maybe that is right. Of course, that not peaceful can be if you are not careful enough, can lead to unskillful state of mind too. So it is true. It is not wrong to try to follow so-called peace. But this also has a tendency to bring a division, struggle. And if you really just contemplate what this means, Sangop, peace, not peace, same value. Okay, peace, somewhere there, you value, you appreciate, you look for, and not peace, yes, we don't want to. So this is where we usually function, where usually we identify ourselves, and actually very attractive, because when you get the peace, or when you are striving for the peace, you feel like you are getting somewhere, or you are doing something. So it is not just what I'm saying, peace and not peace, but it looks like very attractive too. So we try and then we think we are doing something. But the teachers, Rinpoche says, Sangop, my Sangop, Raka Taokan. So the third one, Raka Taokan, same value. How can we say this? Where can we say this? Well, what will happen if you really say this, or if you really hear this? Raka Taokan. It's not just a cheap way of convincing, okay, don't worry, you are doing all right. I thought first my take was that way, but actually, if you think, if you really look at Sangop, my Sangop, peace, not peace, same value. How, where can we say this? And when we recognize this, very, very important shift happens. And you can say, maybe somehow, this is difficult to put the word, but you can say, okay, what you do is let go idea of peace, let go idea of non-peace. It is, and maybe you can say this is a shift of letting go, it's true. But sometimes when we say letting go, we tend to think, I need to let go, or I let go. So sometimes, to me, it is correct, but sometimes might not correct enough, or right enough. So rather, I just say something drops. The experience of dropping. I also like to avoid using that particular subject, but dropping. Something drops. Sangop, my Sangop, Raka Taokan. So this place is, if you recognize it, subtle, not something you have to make a great effort, subtle enough, but completely different. And then very much free, at ease, or normal sense, you use that easy. It's a really easy place. Because there's no agenda of right or wrong, peace or not peace, good or bad, big or small, but same value. This is a place of complete free ease, and then nothing, no thing. And it looks like nothing, but I don't use the word rich either, but this is how I like to see real peace. When we talk about peace in the world, peace, this peace, that peace and non-peace, but this is still, we are struggling between this and that. And then we have an idea, concept of a peace. If we have this concept of peace, it means peace. If you fit in this category, this is peace. But if you don't, this one, something doesn't fit into the category, this is not the peace. So by using this concept making, we are actually making a division, and then can be the cause of conflict. So I would say real sense of peace is Sangop, my Sangop, Raka Taokan. This place of no issue, no worry, nothing at all. This is, so once you give a peace is tricky, but still, I would say this is the real, most precious. And to me, it's like this idea of sangho, my sangho, peace, non-peace, is more or less the world of samsara. So, or you can say birth and death, realm of birth and death. Once, I think, in Ajahn Amaro's particularly often emphasized that the becoming takes place here. If you go over there, identify the meaning of your life, identify the purpose of practice with something, this is a becoming, peace, sangho. And then we fall into the place of samsara. We say escape from samsara, but from this point, actually, we are not necessary to escape. Actually, we are falling into the samsara realm. And monk, I'm a monk, and then a Pali term for a monk is a bhikkhu. And then bhikkhu, I was taught, usually the first meaning is the one who begs. Yes, we are mendicant. And then we have ordination ceremony, we have a robe and then a bowl as a symbol of this life. And then it's a samana. So begging food. So this is really symbolizes our lifestyle as a samana. This is the first one, first meaning of bhikkhu. But the second one is the one who sees the danger in samsara. The one who sees the danger in this realm of perpetual birth and death, perpetual conflict of this and that, division, fighting, and so on. So again, this very simple phrase, but to me, sangop, my sangop, naka, taokan, this is also, I can relate this one to actually the essence of our monk's life. Yes, we have many rules, we have many, you can see in many ways, but the essence of bhikkhu life is to see the danger of samsara. So this is as a human being or as a being in a samsara, it's a tendency to go there, identify this one moment, from one moment to another, but always possible to come back this most the easy and important place. So relating to this, I was talking about the ditti of the world, danger of the ditti of the world, the views. And I think originally this is talking about the meditation practice, but it is the same. When we fall into the problem of ditties, yes, this or that. But once we drop, okay, once we let go, this limitation should be, when we think should be, is actually limiting our life in a certain way. But once we drop off this one, 360 degree of openness and freedom comes. Again, Ajahn Chah's word, Rinpoche's word. A few years ago, this I heard from Ajahn Munindo's talk. So he quoted this one as a Rinpoche's word, Samma Ditti, no Ditti. The Samma Ditti, right view, is the first one of the Eight Noble Paths. This is the very first one, so the essential key one, and we can say scripture, what is said in a scripture, understanding the Four Noble Truths, or if you look at more detail, there is a list of things. But Rinpoche has a way of intuitive, very essence of the meaning. This is what we often attracted and appreciate Rinpoche's teaching. So here, samaditti, no ditti. So this no ditti is a quite tricky word, but this, I hope now I'm repeating again and again. Once we drop, let go this sangop, my sangop, peace, non-peace, raka, tauka. Once we come back, recognize this easy, free place. This is the, I would think, what it meant by samaditti, no ditti, no ditti. And of course, when you say no ditti, it is a quite confusing word. For example, John Lennon's word again, imagine there's no religion in the world. If this word is meant to be, there shouldn't be any religion in the world, then this is, again, you are taking a certain view as a maybe possible place for attachment. So if you hear John Lennon's word in that way, probably we are creating another problem. We are following another sect of non-religion sect. So the samaditti, no ditti, right view, no view. Here, no view, if you see it as a concept of not having a view, then this is another view. This is a tricky, very, very tricky part of dualistic thinking and something else. Once you recognize this movement of dropping off views, samaditti, no ditti. And Rinpoche made those way of saying samaditti. Usually we translate it as a right view, but he recently, at least I heard him saying, perfect understanding, instead of using the word right, but perfect understanding. And once you see samaditti, no ditti, drops the possibility of limiting our perspective in certain views or certain ways, we drops, what will happen? Yes, perfect openness, 360 degree. So in that sense, I relate this word, perfect. And then in that way, most balanced. We say middle way as a key word for Buddhism, but to me the middle is not like a plus b divided by 2, finding this and this. This, not this, but by dropping everything, and then things become completely open to everything. So once it is open to 360 degree, to me, naturally, we are in the very middle, we are in the very center. The most balanced place will be gained. And also this place, I would like to think this is also very most compassionate place, because if we have certain idea what things should be, or what person should be, or what Buddhism should be, then that can limit the perspective. I've been repeating again and again, but by dropping all of this, probably what we say as unconditioned. You see the word unconditioned. So you can look at it. Actually, who is conditioning? We think how to find unconditioned. This is a conditioned level, but how can we go to unconditioned? But if we see this place of Sangop, my Sangop, Raka, Taokan, from this place, actually, we fall into the realm of samsara. So we condition things, we limit things. So if we drop, let go all of this, simply unconditioned, maybe love or acceptance can be possible. And we say, meeting people, when I was talking with a friend today, somebody was struggling with what you call inferior complex, psychological inferior complex, or I haven't done anything in my life, or what's the point? I haven't done anything important in my life. I haven't gained anything, whatever. So this kind of judgment, self-estimate, and then judgment about oneself, I think many people suffer from this. And yes, psychology can offer many things, but I think the most important thing is in front of the person, what really remains is this meeting in front of me or in front of you. This meeting is happening not when you meet. This is a really immediate, most precious thing is happening. Nothing to do, it's not about the past, it's not about the future, it's not about the comparison, it's not about this and that, but simply, but most immediately, we are meeting. And from this place, I think the most precious meeting can happen. So this idea of Sangop, my Sangop, Raka, Taokan, it looks like very simple, but from this place, this is my maybe wishful thinking, but from this place, there's a possibility of total unconditional acceptance. This acceptance is also a very tricky word. You have to accept. I cannot accept. Because we can make issue out of these words too. So I am very careful about using acceptance too, because people have a problem with accepting. But again, the problem, the matter is not about accepting or non-accepting. Before going to that level, before falling into that place, actually, Raka Taokan, same value, recognizing this place. From this place, most immediate meeting can be possible. That's how I think. And I need to come to conclude this talk. One of the favorite chanting here is Buddha's word on loving kindness, English translation. And particularly, I like the last four lines. I confess, I still don't remember by heart. Something like, by not holding fixed views, the pure-hearted one...
having clarity of vision.
having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. So the, until then, that the chanting goes various quality of, again, I can't repeat, but almost saintly, and yet very beautiful quality, this and this, okay. And this should be the place to be. A big task. But the last four lines, if you read just simply, that last four lines, tone changes. What is this? Suddenly talking about no views and everything. And also, by not having fixed views, it's the same thing. Sangop, my sangop, raka, taokam, this place. And it says, the pure-hearted one. What is pure? Yes. Just this, not falling into this realm of samsara, this and that, should and shouldn't, and so on. And having clarity of vision, because if we have a certain stance to the things, maybe we can think things well, but because of that particular stance, if you attach to, then that become what we call biased view, and then our perception can be covered like this. So once let go of this, having clarity of vision is there, and then being freed from sense desires. How can we, you know, sense desires, if you just to reflect how we being one day, one after another, we will experience, oh, I want to have this, I don't want to have this, well, that's wonderful, this is too much, I can't be, how can I be being freed from sense desires? But rather than thinking of personal attainment of this and that, to me, how I like to read is, again, recognizing this place of just complete free, nothing, no worry, at ease, and easy freedom. And so this four line is mentioned in the Karaniya Metta Sutta. Buddha's words on loving kindness. So it is not, so in that sense, how I like to think is this place is actually not just a place of no thing or some strange Buddhist place, but it is a place for compassion too. I'm soon closing it, and coming back to the original point, our human struggle, difficult, and the limitation of fighting each other, it is a painful one. But each of us need to, it's not about some nation's problem, or it's not about some religious or whatever, what we call fanatics problem, but this is, as a being living in this world of conflict, we, all of us have this tendency, and then can cause, and not just can cause, actually always constantly waiting to cause problem in us. So it is the what Buddhism way of saying it, or what I am saying is somehow against how we like to think. It is easy to think, yes, we need a peace, We need to get to the samadhi. We need to get the realization. This is very easy and attractive place. And then to say, sangop, mai sangop, raka, tauka, it is completely different. So somehow unusual. And yet, I think very, very important and useful. So I like to remind myself again and again. And also, I need to remind myself again and again that how this human condition, or the condition I am living in, is quite recognition of my limitation or weakness. That is also necessary. That's why in a religious tradition, not only Buddhism, we often use the word, or we often hear the word, humble or sincere or surrender. These words are not like an idea to impose upon somebody else, but applying to ourselves, just quietly, because the karma, human condition, each of us are having is not small, not easy to cope with. And we need to be humble in that sense. Okay. I hope this means how shall I close it? This has made some sense to you. Okay, thank you for listening.
Namayam namagataya sadhu karam dhammase.